The Lord has used him to be a blessing there to those people. And God knows how to meet our need. When one leaves, he's always got somebody else to come in. But I want you to hear him gladly tonight. He's going to preach to us about 30 minutes. And now listen, don't you sit there and just look at him. You help him. You help him like you'd want somebody to help you. Amen. I love you, brother. Preach to us. Amen.
Amen. Sure is good to be here tonight. That song that they just finished singing is my testimony. God sure has been good to me. And I thank him for his goodness. Thank him for saving me. Thank him for the family that he's given to me. Me and my wife tomorrow be married 19 years. And thank the Lord for the family that he's given to me. And it's been the joy of my life where he has sent us to pastor. I thank God for Trinity Baptist Church. Several of them are here tonight. And appreciate the privilege to go in behind somebody like Preacher Scott Moneyham. Amen. And grateful for how the Lord has used him in my life. And I thank God for this place. Thank God for camp meetings. How the Lord has used meetings just like this to help each one of us along life's way. Romans chapter number 12, if you have your Bibles. Romans chapter number 12. I thank God for the Word of God, don't you? One man of God said that God's Word is so sharp, you can be cut under its influence without even making plans to do so. And I thank God for his word and how it helps each of us. Romans chapter number 12, I just want to read one verse. Verse number 1, the scripture says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. I like that word, brethren, don't you? I'm glad to be part of the family tonight. I heard Preacher Eddie Davis say, to be in a natural family, you can get in three ways. You can either be birthed in, you can either be adopted in, or you can be married in. And when you get saved into God's family, you get in all three ways. Birth guarantees us life. Adoption guarantees us legal rights. And marriage guarantees us love. And I thank God for that. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want to preach on just those last two words in that verse, reasonable service. In our everyday language, it simply, we could put it this way, it's the least we could do. Reasonable service. That just means if you think about it logically, what the Apostle Paul was setting forth in this verse is the very least that you and I could do. But he's not just exhorting us to some kind of emotional stir. One man of God said that doctrine without exhortation produces Pharisaical intellectualism, and exhortation without doctrine produces emotionalism. But if you put the two of them together, God, the Holy Ghost, will pack powder, and there's no telling what might blow out of your heart and mind. And I again and again, we see the Apostle Paul. We see him pointing to doctrine in order to exhort us. Kent Hughes said that Paul frequently uses therefore to mark a point of turning from theology to practice. He said that shift can be told in many ways. He goes from doctrine to duty, from creed to conduct, from the Christian's wealth to his walk, from exposition to exhortation, from indicative to imperative. W.A. Criswell said that the absence of foundational truth is the reason that in this cheap and shallow generation we have come to expect to find grapes off of thorns and figs off of thistles. I love what Alexander McLaren said. He said in chapter 12, verse number 1, it is the hinge verse of the entire book of Romans. The Apostle Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God. In other words, he says, I want you to pause and think about what I've just written to you in chapters 1 through 11. What is it that would cause you and I to do what he says in Romans 12, verse number 1? The first thing he points out, if you will, keep your Bibles open. I want to go very quickly back to Romans chapter number 3. The Apostle Paul has laid forth in the opening chapters the sinful affliction of mankind. And if you don't like to find yourself in chapter 1 or in chapter 2 of the book of Romans, you just flip to chapter number 3 and you will find yourself. In chapter 3, verse number 9, he says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. He said, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles. Is there anybody in here tonight that is not either a Jew or a Gentile? No, that covers every last one of us. He said, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Every one of us tonight are under the affliction that sin passed down to us from Papa Adam. And you know what? In Romans 6:23, he said that the wages of sin is death. If you and I were given what we deserve tonight, we would be given everlasting punishment away from God from now on. And as we think about this tonight, he's simply passing upon us. He is saying that iniquity has passed upon every last one of us. Whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Gentile, you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and there was nothing good about one of us. I'm glad that one day, I thank God my mom and daddy's back there tonight. They brought me up in church. I've been in camp meeting all my life. Was raised under Preacher Wade Huntley, one of the greatest preachers that I know of. And I'm glad for the day that God, the Holy Ghost, showed me that it did not matter if I was raised under Preacher Wade. Did not matter if I had a good mom and daddy. I was under the curse of sin. And I thank God for that reality tonight. But I'm glad that he does not leave us hanging under the sinful affliction that we find in this chapter. But if you go on down in chapter 3, I want to point out the sovereign activity that begins picking up in these verses. In fact, down in verse 23, he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But look at what verse number 24 says. He says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What is that sovereign activity? First of all, he says it is redeeming mercy. You remember in chapter 12, verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, why? He said, by the mercies of God. Here we see redeeming mercy. And he said, God redeemed us while we were sinners. I thank God for his redeeming mercy. That word redemption simply is liberty that is procured by payment. Romans 6:23, the payment of sin is death. Aren't you glad tonight that Christ Jesus came into this world that he might die, that you and I might have life? Spurgeon said he is both the buyer and the prize. And I'm so glad tonight that he paid my redemption. He paid the price for my redemption. But if you'll flip on over with me very quickly in the book of Romans, in chapter number 5, we see also reconciling mercy, sovereign activity by a holy God. In verse number 6 of chapter 5, he says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for who? For the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm glad tonight that if you go on down to verse number 10, he says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. I read in Job chapter number 9, Job said, oh, that there were a daysman that could put his hand on God and put his hand on me. I thank God in Romans here in chapter number 5, we find that Christ Jesus came to be that daysman, thank God. And he put his hand on God. He put his hand on me. And he's reconciled us together in Christ Jesus. The scripture tells us we were one time afar off, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. But I'm so glad. Thank God for Christ Jesus, who came to reconcile us to God. It is redeeming grace. It is reconciling mercy. But I thank God, as you'll notice in this next part of chapter 5, it is rescuing mercy. Look down in verse number 20. He says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know what that means? Literally, if sin were to bounce so high that grace would simply outbounce it. If sin went down as far as you could look, grace would go further. I want to just illustrate that very quickly tonight. Is there anybody that thinks that is just so beautiful? Such a beautiful piece of fabric. Let me tell you just a quick story about this little piece of fabric my mama brought me home 41 years ago from the hospital in that piece of fabric. But I didn't know much about it till one day I was over at my grandma's house and she had a bunch of pillows on a brand new couch. I mean, ugly pillows. Yellow and red and orange that looked just like this, except a whole lot worse. And I asked her, I said, Grandma, could you tell me where did you get that fabric that you made that blanket out of and that you made that pillow out of? And she said, oh, I made that out of some old gully fabric. And I said, what in the world is gully fabric? She said, one day me and your grandpa was driving down the road. She said, we went by this old gully and somebody had discarded several rolls of fabric down in the gully. She said, we picked that up. And she said, I took it to the house and I made some blankets and I made some pillows. And I'm going to tell you what, tonight you may not think that looks like a whole lot, but if you'd have let that stay right where it was about 41 years, it would have sure been a mess. And I'm going to tell you tonight, I don't look like much, but thank God. One day, God came to where I was. When I wasn't looking for him, he came to me. And thank God for the rescue that reached down to where I was and picked me up. And now you say, you might be here tonight and you say, but I never was in a gully. No, it's a whole lot worse than that. The scripture tells us we were in the dung heap of sin. And aren't you glad tonight that Christ Jesus came to rescue the lost? And I'm so thankful for that sovereign activity. There is sinful affliction. There is sovereign activity. You say, why do you call it sovereign activity? Flip on over in Romans chapter number 9. I don't have time to read all of it. He simply calls us down in verse number 23, vessels of mercy. Vessels of mercy. In verse number 13, he said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. One man came, a student of Griffith Thomas, came up to him and said, sir, I'm having a whole lot of trouble with Romans 9:13. How in the world could God hate Esau? Brother Thomas said, well, I got to admit to you, I'm having a lot of trouble with Romans 9:13 myself. He said, but my trouble's different than yours. I'm wondering how in the world could God love Jacob? And I'm going to tell you tonight, I don't understand how God could look my way and love a wretch like me, but I'm so thankful tonight that he did. I'm so grateful for that. And then if you flip on over to Romans chapter number 11, just before the Apostle Paul begins chapter 12, look what he says in Romans 11, verse number 36. He simply says, for of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Paul has pointed out man's sinful affliction, God's sovereign activity. And then you know what he does? He turns right around and gives a submissive appeal. I love what John Gill said about these verses. In Romans 12:1, he said, this verse is not enforced by terrors or threats, but by the mercies of God. What Paul points out to us, he's not beating down over our head, but he simply says, I want you to keep one eye on God's mercy. And he said, out of God's mercy, he said, here is the submissive appeal. I beseech you, therefore. You know what that literally means? I want you to come along beside of me. Paul's saying, I need to do this myself. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of chapter 1 through 11, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is the least you could do. After the sinful affliction of mankind and after God, through his sovereign activity, reached into our lives, Paul said, it's just the least we could do. What's the least we could do? Present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. I've been reading several biographies and autobiographies over the last couple of years, Corrie ten Boom, reading about Adoniram Judson, Hudson Taylor. I was amazed recently in reading about Hudson Taylor. He had already been 4 years in China. I don't know about you, but to think that he has already spent 4 years, I would consider that a submissive life. But after he had already been in China for 4 years, he fell under a deep conviction of giving everything he had to God. And Mr. and Miss Taylor that wrote the book about him said he had been surrendered for years, but this was a new yieldedness, a giving up of every fiber of his being to the service of God. And I'm going to tell you what I wonder tonight is, we were sinners, whether Jew or Gentile, afflicted by sin. The sovereign activity of God stepped into our life. And Paul simply said, because of that, he said, I wonder if you would just give everything you've got to God. I'm going to give you this and I'll be done. School I just finished up last December. One of the last times I was on campus, I was sitting in the congregation there, and before the main message, they said, I want who is now the governor of Kentucky to come around. His name's Matt Bevin. So I want him to speak to us for just a minute. He told the story of his 17-year-old daughter. Just finishing up high school, and the only purpose that God had put in her life was to see her family and people she did not even know, to figure out that God cares about those who have been afflicted by sin. And one day she wrote down and she said, "I'm going to write a dangerous prayer that God would put broken people in my life that may be pointing others to the reality of being saved." The next morning, she was killed in an automobile accident in front of that school. The daddy came there that day, now the governor of Kentucky, to give untold amount of money to begin the Bevins Center for Missions Mobilization at that school. And when you hear that, you might be out there saying, "That just sounds like such a tragedy." Oh, no. It is not in a million years a tragedy. What would be tragic is for those of us who God, through His sovereign activity, has come and put us up as princes where we were one time in the dung heap, and that we would live to be 100 years old and nobody ever hear through us about God. I just wonder tonight, has God picked you up out of the dung heap? If so, would you come alongside the Apostle Paul? Say, "I'll just give everything I've got for the cause of Christ, preacher."
Appreciate the preaching. Amen. Give that to Jamie. Don't you appreciate that preaching tonight? He's been merciful to us. I can identify with that redeeming mercy and that rescuing mercy. And the least we could do is just give Him our all. What a challenge to our life. I appreciate that, Brother Tim. I want Brother Jordan and I believe Miss Rebecca and Kim to come around. They're going to sing something for us tonight.